Welcome to the podcast for the First United Methodist Church, located in Round Rock, Texas. This week, Pastor Brad Britton talks to us about the story of Abram, who later becomes Abraham. Pastor Britton talks about how Abraham answers God's call, not knowing when, where, or how God's call would unfold. Abraham saw the miracles of his life open up by saying okay and walking by faith in God's word.
God, help us to hear a word of hope and grace and love and what you say to us and through us. And today, as we reflect on prayer, help us to know that it really is just communing with you. And that can take many different forms and shapes. Help us to know your presence even now. In Christ's name, amen. So this is the last sermon from the James series. This is the fifth of our sermons on James. And just to give a recap of the book of James, it was written to the early church, James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he talked about a lot of different things. In the first chapter, he talked about how we'll have struggles and trials, and that's true of every person who ever lives. There's just things to get through in life, but that God is still with us, and there's an enduring nature to that. He talked about faith and works, you remember? Faith is receiving God's grace as gift, and then works flow out of our faith. But faith without works is dead. In other words, our lives ought to match somewhat what we say we believe. Then chapter 3 talked about taming the tongue. Anybody here for that sermon? That was a hard one because, you know, we've all said things we wish we hadn't said. We look back at times where we wish we had said something when we didn't, and we can't go back and change it. But words have power to build up. And then here in chapter 5 today, we have just a few verses, and he talks about three specific things, and then he gets into prayer. So first question he asked of the group was, are any suffering? And he said, you should pray. Second, he said, are any of you cheerful? Then you should sing songs of praise. And the third, are any of you sick? And if so, you should call on the elders of the church to pray for you. You know, it's interesting. You think that is a long time ago, what we're reading. I mean, a long time ago. And they would sing. So the early church had singing as a part of their gathering. And they did not have the United Methodist hymnal that we're aware of. I don't think. It was the Psalms. So think about that a second. When you read the book of Psalms, or maybe sing a psalm in a worship service, we are participating in exactly what they participated in. And they prayed. Who did they pray to? Well, they prayed to the eternal God. So we are praying to the same God that they prayed to. So we have a connection with the people that we just heard read about, literally. And in this text, he says that they should pray for one another. Now, prayer is an interesting thing. It is mysterious. It is hard to explain. All of us pray in different ways. Sometimes, unfortunately, we think that prayer is just something we do when we come to church on Sunday. The danger is to compartmentalize prayer, even to compartmentalize our faith and say, well, that's a Sunday thing. The rest of the week, God can just mind his own business unless I get in trouble, then I'll call for him, but see you next Sunday. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is a part of all of life. And I believe that we pray more often than we think. We might not be sitting with our heads bowed and eyes closed, but we are in the act of prayer and God sneaks up on us. I was cutting a bell pepper the other day, and just cutting the bell pepper. Took me a while to cut the bell pepper because I got distracted and did a couple of other things in the middle of cutting a bell pepper, if you can imagine that. And right in the middle of cutting the bell pepper, I realized something. I think I'm praying. And I thought of a family here in the church that's going through some things, and I'd not communicated with them in a while, so I just stopped cutting the bell pepper and went and sent a text. Now, I did not start that task thinking, you know, I think now's a good time to pray. Do we have a bell pepper in the house? Get me a bell pepper. I need to pray. And it's just another reminder that God can sneak up on us. There was a study in the late 70s where they observed preschoolers. And in particular, they would observe them during free time. They could do anything they wanted during free time. And they watched this group of kids that chose to draw during the free time. And they decided to do an experiment. They would break this group up into three different groups. The first group they called the expected reward group. In other words, they would be told, if you draw, you will get a reward. And they showed them a certificate that they would receive. The second group, they didn't say anything about a reward, but they would give them a reward at the end of the drawing, but the kids didn't know. The third group, no award, nothing, just draw. Well, they did this, and then they came back a few weeks later, and here's what they found. They found that the unexpected reward group and the no reward group drew the same amount of time and had the same enthusiasm for what they were doing. No change. The first group, the expected reward group, spent much less time drawing, and when they did draw, there was not the joy and enthusiasm as before. And so what they found was when they made drawing contingent on something, it took the fun out of it. It made it work. And they did follow-up experiment after follow-up experiment, and it is proven true. There's something about this, the intrinsic nature of enjoying what we're doing and not seeing it as work. You ever thought about prayer that way? Mark Twain wrote about this concept. He was observing the wealthy Englishmen of the day that would pay large sums of money to ride in a carriage pulled by four horses. 20, 30 miles, they'd pay all this money to go ride. And he said, if you were to pay them to do that as a service, they'd quit tomorrow because you make it a job. So think about your own life. What do you do that's just intrinsically fun and you do it just for the pure pleasure? I like to do card tricks. I enjoy card tricks. Anybody like card tricks here? What is wrong with you? I did this at 8:30 and nobody raised their hand, and I'm like, am I the only one that likes card tricks? I know why you didn't raise your hand. He's going to call me up here. That's why you didn't raise your hand. So, I enjoy card tricks. I'm going to put this over here. Can I get a volunteer, somebody?
I'm filming, sorry.
You're filming? David Crow, come up. I'll come down here. David, what state were you born in?
Texas.
How many letters are in the state of Texas in the name?
Five.
Five. Okay. What's the date of your birthday? Just the number, like the 6th or the 7th?
The 29th.
Okay. 29. So 29 plus 5. Any math majors? 34. How many eyes do I have?
Two.
So what are we up to now? 36. Steve, would you cut the deck there? Now think of a card. You know, the suit, the whole thing. And I want you to go back to where you're seated, but on the way back, tell somebody your card so they know that I'm not. Okay, we got it? Is this your card? It's not.
Thank you.
We'll be here all week. Be sure and tip your ushers way out. What did I say at the beginning? I enjoy doing card tricks. I did not say I was successful, nor plan to be successful. I just enjoy doing card tricks. That was so great. It was so neat to actually feel a congregation completely engaged for a minute. You were on the... Some of you were leaning forward like, he did the state, and then that, and then the two eyes. What? You know, there's some things we can do just because we enjoy them. And I think prayer can be that too. I think sometimes we turn church and spiritual practices into this very, very serious thing, which obviously there is a seriousness to faith, not saying anything different. But I think sometimes God looks at us and says, yeah, I wish they'd just have a little more fun, lighten up. Can you be in prayer with me and maybe it be a relaxed thing and maybe just even joyous and fun? I also think God must look at this creation and humanity and say, I wish they'd stop fighting so much. Why when I created them to enjoy this life and each other, why do they fight so much? There's a better way. So James said prayer's important and that we should pray for one another. Someone once asked Mother Teresa about prayer, and they said, can you explain to us what happens when you pray? And she says, well, I listen to God. And she said, what does God do? And she said, God listens to me. And that's about as good a definition as I've ever heard of prayer. It is just being in the presence of God, however that is for you, but it is to pray for one another. There's a story about a fourth grade class playing balloon stomp. Has anybody ever played the balloon stomp game, kids? So balloon stomp, and imagine a group of fourth graders, this group of fourth graders in the class, have a balloon, an inflated balloon tied to their ankles. And they ran around the room, and the object of the game was to be the last person standing with an inflated balloon. So you're to pop all the other balloons. Well, they get to the end of the game, and you can imagine total chaos. Some people are in tears. Just awful experience. No one likes the person that wins because, you know, they're now, you know. Well, they finished the class, and then the next class that came in was a group of cognitively impaired students. So as they came in, the teacher was thinking to himself, oh, no, man, I hope this doesn't go like the last group. Well, they give the instructions for the game, and the only thing the class really heard was that the balloons were to be popped. That's really all they got out of the instructions. So you know what happened? They started popping the balloons cooperatively. One of the girls would kneel down. She held her balloon steady so another boy could pop it, and then she did the same, and they did this around the room. And when the last balloon was popped, there was this celebration. It wasn't about winning or being the best or I'm better than you. It was together. Isn't that what the body of Christ is? The body of Christ, the church, it's not to be a place of division and fighting and territorialism. The church is just a bunch of people like you and me just trying to get through life and figure it out and just grateful for the grace of God and another day to live. And would it hurt us to support our friends along the way? Of course not. How many of you have ever been prayed for specifically by a church body? Yeah. That is a powerful thing to have others praying for you specifically. It is an amazing thing to know that someone else is not just thinking of me, but praying for me. And I don't know why some prayers go answered and others don't. I don't know why some people get well and others don't. I really don't. None of us will ever understand the full mystery of prayer, but I think we can all agree that there is power in prayer because it changes us. And I've seen in my own life, often if I am willing, which that's the real question, is if I'm willing to allow God to speak to me and then to be obedient to whatever it is God calls us to do. And then just go with it. You know, athletes talk about flow. You ever heard that? An athlete talking about flow, like they are in such a rhythm. Time stands still, and it's just incredible what's happening. It's as if I am doing what I was meant to do and to be. And prayer can be that. And it can happen anywhere, anytime. It's wonderful. Grew up a big basketball fan, played basketball. We had season tickets to the Dallas Mavericks when I was little. They started in 1980. And we went to almost every home game. It was $6 a ticket, lower level. Think about that. Inflation, right? In the 1980s, I mean, I think that's the greatest, you know, for the NBA. It didn't get any better. I got to see Dr. J, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. There was this rookie in the mid-80s that showed up, Michael Jordan. I got to see him. And in 1986, they had the Final Four in Dallas. It was Kansas, Duke. It was this young coach at Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, just starting out. He was there. Louisville and LSU. And so I got to go to the Final Four. Just had a ball. Never Nervous Purvis Ellison was the MVP, played for Louisville. Just a real chill guy. That's why he was Never Nervous Purvis. Great name. And so in 2012, I had some friends call me. I was living in Waco. The Final Four was in New Orleans. One of my friends was a Kansas fan. The other was a Kentucky fan, and they were playing in the final game, and they said, tell you what, we'll come to your church Sunday morning. We'll come to church, and then we'll just leave after church to go to New Orleans. I said, okay. Do you have tickets? They said, no. So you're just going to come pick me up after church, or we're just going to go to New Orleans? We don't even have tickets? Yes, let's go. And we did. We took off, went to New Orleans, had the best time, ended up getting the tickets. Right before the game started, the championship game, we were at Café Du Monde. We had these wonderful beignets, and it began to pour down rain. We ran all the way from Café Du Monde to the Superdome. We were soaking wet, powdered sugar all over my cheeks. It was glorious. Glorious. Sometimes you just got to do it for the plot. Just do it. You know, prayer can be that. Why not? You never know what God can do through prayer. And it amazes me that the creator of the universe still wants to connect with us. The one that became one of us in Christ. And all through Jesus' ministry, you see how he was mistreated. Ultimately, he's crucified, and then he's resurrected, and then what does he do? His disciples are gathered, and he shows up, and he appears to a group of them, but one of them's not there, Thomas. You remember Thomas? Thomas wasn't there, and then Thomas gets back, and the other guys say, you're not going to believe this, but Jesus just showed up. He's alive. And Thomas said, I can't believe it unless I can see him and put my hands in his side and his hands. And then what does Jesus do? He comes back for Thomas. And even today, God keeps coming back to you and to me saying, do you have a second? Do you have a second? You know, it's incredible. You just never know what's going to happen in prayer. I was doing the card trick last night with Alicia, my wife. She just beat me in gin rummy for the thousandth time. We were sitting there. And so I got the cards. I said, I'm going to do a card trick tomorrow. And she looked at me like, really? And so I asked her the question. I said, what state were you born in? And she goes, you know. I'm like, play along. I got to practice. So Texas, how many letters? Birthday. She did all that. And then I said, here, you shuffle the deck, cut the deck. And then I took the deck back. I pulled a card out and I said, is this your card? And she said, yes, it is. I put the cards back in the box and went to bed. Some things you just can't explain. Let's pray. God, you never said we had to fully understand or be able to explain the things of you and what you're doing in our lives. You've just asked to be with us, and you refused to be God without us, and for that we're grateful that you became one of us in Jesus Christ, and that we can commune with you anytime, anywhere. And for that, we give you thanks today. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.